Hey redesigners, and welcome back to another episode of Women Over 50 A Life Redesigned. My name is Shelley. I am your host for this podcast. So welcome. Super glad you have joined me again. Before we get started with this interview, I have a couple of favors to ask. If you would take a moment on whatever platform you're listening to this on, follow, subscribe, leave me a review, whatever you are able to do, that would be fantastic. I would appreciate it. Also, I have a Patreon account. If you would like to financially support the podcast, you can be a podcast ambassador for $3 a month. Link is down below in the show notes. I'm a DIY independent podcast, and I don't want to have to include sponsors or ads in my podcast unless they're my own. So there you have it. I would appreciate it. Go down to the show notes for that information. And of course, all the information on my guest today. Oh my gosh, she just had so many fabulous words of wisdom. She's written a book about her journey in which she talks about how she was pregnant with the book. Fascinating story. At the age of 11, Terry and her sister were given to two men in exchange by her mother in exchange for drugs. And just Terry knew at that moment that that was going to be a pivotal point in her life. So just a great interview. And I know that you will love my interview with Terry as much as I did. Okay, friends, on to my interview with Terry. Well, hey, Terry, I am super glad that you have joined me here on my podcast. And tell me, first of all, where are you located? Where are you?
Woodstock, Georgia.
Georgia. Okay, I forgot to ask that in the introduction. So I was just, when we were chatting before, I was just super curious. So Terry has a really fascinating story that I think will inspire and motivate our listeners. And thank you so much for sharing your story with us. So to get started, I know you've written a book, Raven Transcending Fear. So how did that book come about?
In 2018, I became pregnant with a book. I've had talked about my story for most of my life. It has greatly impacted not only me, but anybody who knows me, my story affects them in some way. So I was asked, was I ever going to write my story? And I'm like, no. And in 2018, I became pregnant with the book. And that was the year I turned 50.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I became pregnant at the age of 50 with this book. And when I sat down to write it, I was working full-time in corporate. I was doing 50 hours a week. And I wrote this in the evenings and on the weekends in 9 months. And when I say it flowed out of me, I had no outline. I had no idea how this was. I just sat down and started writing. And it poured out as I typed. After 9 months, it was completed. And then I went on a different journey to figure out how to do editing and find editors, content editors. And then figuring out how to put a book proposal together and then submit all that, get all that rejection from all the times that you get these letters. We're sorry, we're not interested in your book at this time.
Yeah.
All of that good stuff. And then in October of last year, Higher Ground Books and Media said that they would be honored to publish my book. And it came out on Friday, February 12th, Lunar New Year, and it just so happens that a lot of things in my life seem to revolve around the moon all of a sudden. So I thought that was a very special day for my book to be released on Amazon.
Yeah, first of all, I love the story about producing a book, writing a book. I know that a lot of my listeners and women in the group talk about writing a book, and I've been talking about writing a book for like half my life. But so I love the phrase pregnant with the book. You became pregnant with the book and then like it lasted for, and you gave birth like, 9 months later.
Nine months, it was done.
Yeah. So what does that mean, pregnant with the book?
When you become pregnant, everything about how you live your life changes. And it's all about now this new life that's forming inside of you. And that's basically what happened, was this book was forming whether I wanted it to or not. And I had to get it out onto paper. And it was just an inner knowing that whatever, if I didn't want to do it or not, this baby was coming. And I just had to go with it.
Yeah, I like that. I like that, because a lot of times we get these things, I don't even know what to call them, inside us, and we resist them. And I think that that's one of the reasons that we're so unhappy a lot of times. So if you had not listened and became pregnant, gave birth to this book, you know, no telling where you would be today, like, you know, mm-hmm. mentally or anything, to giving into that. I love that story. On your website, you talk about a spiritual journey that you went on. Could you share that story with us?
Sure. So I believe that we are all born onto this planet, into this earth school, and that we are born fearless. We are born knowing who we are, who we authentically are, that we know what our purpose is. And then we get domesticated. We, just like animals get domesticated, we get domesticated by our parents and by peers and by wanting to conform and fit into the world that is around us. And we get told that we're good girls if we do this, or we're bad girls if we do that. So we want to conform. We don't want to feel bad. So we are domesticated and spend the first 10 of years of our life being authentic, the next 10 years of our life conforming and being domesticated. And then we spend the next 20 years of our life trying to figure out why we're so unhappy. And then all of a sudden we hit about 40 and we say, I am unhappy and I need to figure out why. And what it comes down to is that we aren't authentically who we were meant to be. We're wearing masks, we're wearing armor, we're conforming to things that somewhere along the way we said, okay, this is the way it's supposed to be, instead of, am I happy with the way this is? And if we truly are looking inside of us, which is where all our answers are, our soul is extremely wise. It is connected to the divine. And if we get quiet, our soul will whisper to us and it will tell us all the answers to all the questions that we've ever wanted to have answers to. Who are we? If we sit quietly and listen, the soul will tell us who we are. The soul will help us how do I make this next choice? How do I move into this, towards this next dream? Getting quiet, meditating through prayer, however it is you get quiet, your soul will answer. The issue is that we tend to listen to what the screaming ego says. And all of us are very in tune to the inner critic, very in tune to the ego saying, oh no, you can't do that. That's going to be scary. You're going to fail at doing that. Where the ego, if you get quiet, will encourage you. It will be that encouraging voice to say, you will get a traditional published deal. You won't have to self-publish, because I know you don't want to self-publish. And that's one of the things that I was really set against for me, was self-publishing. I wanted a traditional publisher, and I was patient and I did exactly what my soul told me to do. And I got exactly what I wanted.
That literally brought tears to my eyes listening to you say that, because I have talked to so many women who at the age of 40, and I just sort of imploded at the age of 40. But I wasn't as self-aware as I am now. But so many women have said to me, is this all there is? And 40 seems to be the magical number for us. But I've never heard anyone quite explain it like you do. Like, we have these segments in our lives, you know, the first 10 years, and then we mm-hmm. become domesticated. I love the way you said that. That just explains it so perfectly. So, you say going on a spiritual journey is being quiet and listening to what your soul has to say.
When we are domesticated, one of the things that happens is that we disconnect from our soul. Yeah. We disconnect from who we authentically are. So ultimately, that spiritual journey is that reconnection mm-hmm. back to spirit, reconnection back to our authentic selves. And that spiritual journey can come through a lot of different ways. And in my book, I explain how it happened for me. And it, I think it happens for everybody differently, but it's really about becoming aware that we are unhappy and that we are responsible for the choices that we make. And if I make a choice today that I'm doing so because I need to, I'm trying to conform instead of doing what my soul is telling me I really should do. So conforming meant that I shouldn't have written the book because I was working in corporate. I had a 50-hour a week job. So, you know, me trying to say, okay, I'm going to figure out when I can write this book, and, or, you know, the different aspects of what I was giving up when I was taking that time to write the book. And I was doing what my soul wanted me to do versus what my friends wanted me to do, what my job wanted me to do. They asked me to work more hours. I said, no,
yeah.
I needed my time. And being able to know what it is that you're supposed to do, that purposeful aspect, that is where we, especially women, get our true energy from. We are always creating and birthing something because that is who women are. Whether it's nurturing a child, nurturing our family, or nurturing ourselves, because that's the other aspect that most of us don't take into consideration, is that the self-care is very much a part of that spiritual journey, that inward journey, because you can't go into that inward journey without taking care of yourself. That's where you find out, you know what? I have an issue with gluten. When I eat something with a lot of gluten in it, my body does this and I don't like it. Maybe I need to think about whether or not I should eat, you know, pizza or whatever food it is that you know causes your body to have some sort of angst, some sort of negative reaction to it. You know, I know for me, I should not drink too much coffee. I love coffee, but I know one cup is really all I should have in the morning because otherwise it affects me in ways that is not healthy for me.
So how do we figure that out? Because I know that, you know, using food as an example, like when I eat too much sugar, I just feel bad. And it's just lately that I've come to recognize that that's something caused by this, like this causes this. But we're so used to feeling, we're so used to feeling bad or poorly or whatever. So how do we, let me see if I can ask this, how do we start figuring out, you know, that this is the coffee or this is the gluten or this is the drinking or whatever that's causing us to feel like we do?
The hardest part in taking this journey is becoming aware.
Yeah.
And being aware and awakened to, okay, there's a cause and effect here. And we know from a scientific basis that everything has a cause and effect, but we don't associate cause and effect with us. Our ego is very good at lying to us and saying, oh no, that cookie is going to make you feel better. Go ahead, have that piece of cake. Or go ahead and eat that pizza that tastes so good because you, and I was, gluten affects me very badly. And I'm part Italian. I was raised on pasta.
No.
You had pasta 3 days a week, every week. And when my son and I would make pasta for us and I'd make a pound of pasta. He'd eat a half a pound. I eat half a pound. Needless to say, pasta was one of the main things causing me issues. So taking pasta out of my diet, even though it's a comfort food for me, I've figured out other ways to have comfort food that is not so upsetting to my system. And that's really what it comes down to. The reason I found out about it was I actually went through what I did a 3-day, not really a fast, but I basically cut everything out and only ate chicken. I ate grilled chicken nonstop for 3 days. And after 3 days, I started adding in foods. And I had water and one cup of green tea and chicken. Then I started adding in the foods. And the first food I added, of course, was pasta. And what happened was I ate that pasta. The next morning, I had gained 6 pounds from that pasta. And what I ended up finding out was when you eat something your body doesn't like, you have a not inflammatory reaction to it, and it causes inflammation in your body. And when you're younger, your body can handle the inflammation. That's why you see these kids with iron stomachs that can eat anything. But as we age, as we get older, our body will tell us, you can't eat that much pizza. You can't eat that much pasta. And this is what happens. And the underlying of all disease, science is now telling us, is inflammation in the body.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm cutting out as much inflammation in my body as I possibly can if I know what causes it. And what causes it for me may not cause it for you.
Right.
So for example, I know that broccoli and cauliflower are really good for me. But I have a friend that the moment she eats broccoli or cauliflower, she has an inflammatory reaction. And those are really good foods, but she can eat gluten. So,
yeah.
You know, our each, everybody's different. Our bodies are unique just as we are. Despite the fact that we're 99.9% identical genetically, that 0.1%, those differences, which sadly, most of us see from an external perspective, but it's also those little nuances in what your body can handle and what my body can handle.
Yeah, no, I've been reading a lot about that lately too, and how they think Alzheimer's is really more like, they're calling it the, you know, there's a type 1, type 2 diabetics, and they're calling Alzheimer's the type 3 diabetes. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this question. How far can we get in a, you know, you talk about cleaning up our diet, which I'm a firm believer in, like I'm a vegetarian. And you don't have to be a vegetarian. So I get listeners that like write me all the time. You don't have to be a vegetarian. I'm just a vegetarian. I think it's important cleaning up our diet or our food in order to have a really deep self-awareness, a spiritual journey as well. Because I don't think we can do a lot of drinking of alcohol, eating of sugar. Although I do love gin and tonic. I don't think we can have those things in our body and really have a clear understanding of our journey or where we want to be. Am I making sense? Does that make sense to you?
You do, because the reality is who we authentically are doesn't need alcohol. It doesn't need to have those things that our ego wants. Our ego wants these things because our ego thinks it makes us feel better. Our ego decides that, you know, I think I should be able to have a cup of hot chocolate and a piece of chocolate cake. And, you know, all of this stuff that the ego feels makes us feel better. The reality is, if our body says after we're done eating all of that, that it's sluggish, that it doesn't want to do anything, and it just feels like sitting and being a blob, then maybe that's not the best thing for us. Our ego lies to us. Our ego does, it has a specific job, and its job is to warn us and put its hackles up if something is dangerous. The issue is, in today's society, really and truly, what is dangerous? There is no tiger crouching. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe there is a bus that you didn't see that could have hit you. So, you know, those types of instances, the ego is very alert. But in modern society, the ego tells you, you know what, you may not want to go to that meeting today because so-and-so is going to be there and they always put you down. That is not a reason not to go to the meeting. That's the ego trying to find things for it to do. Or when you're feeling sad and the ego says, okay, let's have some chocolate cake. Well, maybe the chocolate cake is part of what's keeping you in a depressive state because it causes an inflammatory reaction in your body. It slows you down. All that sugar slows you down, and it causes things like depression. It causes things like being too much caffeine, making you anxious. So there are physical reactions to the things that we put into our body. And we have to be aware of that, especially if we're dealing with some sort of trauma, dealing with some sort of physical ailment. We need to be aware of these things so that we can overcome them.
Yeah, it's all connected and super fascinating. And it took me, I think I was about 50 when I figured all that out, that it's all connected. So I love the idea of the spiritual journey. I love the way that you talked about being pregnant with your book and how you sort of like fit these things into, I don't want to really call them the nooks and crannies, but you know, this time in your life that you did this. And I think that's a really important point for the women listening, is that you don't have to have this, you know, enormous amount of time or space or quit your job to write a book. If you can, that's great. You know, when I turned 50, I was lucky enough to take an 8-month sabbatical to Colorado. But not everyone can do that. So I encourage you by listening to Terry that you can do these things. You can do these things throughout your life, especially if your soul is telling you, you need to write this book, or you need to, you know, do this, or I should, you know, do that, or that's really authentically you. One of the things I'm really fascinated too when I was on your website is soul coaching, S-O-U-L coaching. So what is that? What is a soul coach?
A soul coach is somebody that helps you find who you authentically are. We all, especially women, get told who we are, get told what our roles are, and then we spend that, you know, those 20 years that I talk about in between conforming and then saying, oh my gosh, what's going on here? Those 20 years, we become these whatever roles, we identify with the roles. We identify with being a mother. We identify with being a wife. We identify with our jobs, whatever our job is. So we take these roles and we identify ourselves with them. Tell me who you are, Shelley. And you're going to tell me I'm a mother. I'm a wife. That's not who you are. That's what you do. Those are the roles you play, but who you are is not any of that. You know, so who Terry is I'm a fearless warrior who has overcome trauma, and my mission is to help others do the same. That's it. That's who Terry is. That is the essence of who I am. And I do it by helping others see a different perspective, which is the main thing that helps people understand that to overcome your fears and limiting beliefs, you have to see it from a different perspective. You can't see it through the egoic eyes. You have to see it from a soulful perspective where you are able to see this has meaning for me. There is a lesson for me to learn here. And if I learn a lesson, then it doesn't have to be a negative influence on my life. So my story is really about an 11-year-old who is sexually abused, and her mother allowed it. My mother allowed 3 men to rape me so that she could have drugs. A week later, she literally put my sister and I out on the streets of Albuquerque, New Mexico, and told us to go home. Home was in Pennsylvania, and I had to get my sister and I back to Pennsylvania. And from that trauma, there was a lot of things that an 11-year-old never should have had to deal with. Yeah. And yet at the same time, I was still close enough to being aware that I was still connected to the divine, and all that awareness that was still alive in me is what allowed me to overcome and get us home. I got off the airplane and told my dad I needed therapy. An 11-year-old in the early 80s doesn't know what therapy is, but I asked for therapy. Okay. Yeah. So there was something there. I knew that what happened to me was not my fault. I knew that it was something that was going to impact me for a long time, and I needed help to do so. So in knowing that and then asking for therapy was something that just doesn't happen with an 11-year-old back in the early 80s. Now, therapy back in the 80s for sexual abuse also wasn't very thought through, dealt with very well, and it really wasn't the best thing for me as far as being able to help me. And ultimately what ended up the first major shift was I was in college and I had a guy tell me that I was getting something out of being a victim. And at first I was very angry with that sentiment because I'm like, who are you to tell me that, you know, I'm getting something from my victimhood? Yeah. But something struck me about it and I sat with it. And I realized that I was getting something out of playing the victim. And when you are a victim, people leave you alone. When you are a victim, you're not held to the same accountability as other people around you. People walk on eggshells. They speak to you differently because they know that you could be triggered. So one of the main thing I was getting out of playing a victim was I was being left alone. I wanted to be left alone, and I used my victimhood so that people would leave me alone. So I figured out that there was probably a better way for me to communicate to people that I wanted to be left alone than playing the victim. And that started my major shift. And I shifted from being a victim to being a survivor. And in doing so, the major change that occurred was I could no longer blame my mother, the trauma experience, those three men, for the decisions I was making now. Because if I choose to stay in victimhood, I can blame and not take responsibility for my life moving forward. But to become a survivor, you have to say, okay, yes, all this bad stuff happened to me. And yes, I shouldn't have had to gone through that. But today, any decisions I make is because I'm making them, not my mother, not the rapists. I'm making the decisions, so I have to be responsible for the outcomes of them. And only when we empower ourselves and take responsibility can we change the trajectory of our life.
Oh, absolutely. And I was just going to say, it's so empowering to take responsibility for your life. But for me, it was also scary because I blamed everybody for everything that's gone wrong in my life. And it's just an easy track to follow, you know?
In today's society, and especially all the psychological aspects, you can blame your parents, you know,
yeah.
You are is because of your parents. And there's truth in those statements. Mm-hmm. You are domesticated by your parents, by your teachers, by your peers. So there was a domestication that mm-hmm. occurred. However, as an adult, you don't have to believe those things that you were taught. You, as an adult, you can look and say, hey, I'm going to unlearn some of these things that do not serve me and my higher self. I'm going to go ahead and relearn some things that I think may be better for me. And then I'm going to learn new things that take me down the path I want to go. So in unlearning, relearning, and learning new things, we take responsibility for where we are moving in our lives instead of saying, well, I've always believed this. Well, why? Why do you believe that? Do you really believe it? Or is it something that you were taught and you have claimed is true? Because the reality is there's lots of things. All hate is learned behavior. Mm-hmm. All fear is learned behavior. So if you fear something, even though I feared Hispanic men, the three men that raped me were Hispanic. My ego had a very good reason at 11 to say Hispanic men are dangerous. But as I got older and as I worked with Hispanic men in my corporate setting, they're fabulous people.
Yeah.
Very loving, generous people. So now when my ego says, oh, there's a Hispanic man, I can say, yeah, thank you, ego, for letting me know. But I've had more positive experiences than negative experiences with Hispanic men. Your concern is not warranted. And that fear completely dissipates when you can recognize what it is and remember that there's something better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What great, I don't really want to call it advice, but what great words for my listeners. I just love all of that. You are just so insightful and inspiring.
Thank you.
Loved how you said all those things. Our time is almost up. So before we go, I do want you to, and I'm going to put all these things in the show notes down below, but if you've got, you know, one last thing you'd like to say to our listeners where we can, you know, get your book. I know that you've got a free gift for them that I'll post down there. Yeah. So if you just want to talk briefly about all that good stuff.
Okay. So you can always reach me at my website, terrykozlowski.com. And I have the podcast Soul Solutions, where it's about a 15-minute solo show each week on Tuesdays, where I dive deep into a specific topic. I've talked about why you should find your tribe, why it's important, why you should understand your weaknesses, because when we understand what our weaknesses are, we don't wallow in the negativity of them. Instead, we concentrate on the positive things that we can do. But knowing your weaknesses mean you don't keep going back to those places. You go in a different direction. So we talk about that on the show. And then, of course, my book, Raven Transcending Fear, is on Amazon. You can also go to raventranscendingfear.com and find the link to purchase the book. And again, it's my life story and my spiritual journey back to my authentic self.
Awesome.
And freebie.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The freebie is called The Blueprint to Overcoming Fear. And it is the 6 different ways that you can use to help you start your journey on overcoming your fear.
Awesome. I can't wait to read your book. That's going to be good. So
thank you.
Thank you so much.